This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
11 consecutive misses for the Celtics.
Here's the most dangerous man in the building with the ball.
Clutch player. The award went to him. A chance for the lead here for the first time tonight. Absolutely amazing.
Why don't they pay off the sponsor there, Keith, and say it's presented by Kia?
Why don't they do that? Why? The clutch award presented by Kia.
Make sure you get the full thing.
The third annual NBA Clutch Player of the Year award. It's an odd, almost fake award, but I'll take it.
Yeah,
I feel like there's enough awards. I feel like All-NBA is a good award.
Yeah.
MVP, defensive player, sixth man. We're good. You start having like clutch player, that turns into like hockey when they have like 1,000 awards named after all these different guys.
Well, Drew Holiday won the NBA's Lady Bing. I didn't realize that was an award.
Yeah, he did.
He won that.
They had most improved at one point. I don't know if they still kept doing that.
Yeah. Well, that's
most improved and comeback, right? Two different things.
Yeah. Does the NBA do comeback?
Maybe not. NFL does.
NFL for sure.
It's hard to keep track of all these awards. But yes, Jalen Brunson is the most clutch player.
The Great Barrier Thief, was the most improved this year.
Was he really?
Dyson Daniels. I believe so.
All defense probably, right?
Oh, she better be.
She's
Great Barrier Thief?
Yeah. I mean, the name.
He's taking that ball from
you. Uh-huh.
So Jalen Brunson last night, I said this going into the series, and I don't know that it really played out that way. I think Brunson in the final couple of minutes was good, but I agree with your larger point. I don't think he was great on balance last night. But when it mattered, he took over and, you know, dominated might be too strong, but I think was the best player on the floor late in that game. The Knicks have an ability to pull these games out. They did it against Detroit. We all framed it as the Pistons gagged it away, which I thought was accurate. But now when the Knicks keep winning this way, and they've done it two games in a row from down 20, chip, chip, chip away, and beat the Celtics twice on their home floor, you got to start looking at it and saying there's something there with New York. I don't think it's Thibodeau. If you want to give Thibodeau a bunch of credit, go ahead.
No.
I don't think it's him. I don't think it's a lot of other guys. Mitchell Robinson in his plus 19. I think it's about the clutch player, Brunson. The Knicks have a guy who comes through in big spots, and the Celtics don't. And that guy's Jason Tatum. I know he had a big dunk last night. It was a borderline uncontested dunk. And that's the only field goal he's made in the fourth quarter in two games. So I really think it's as simple as that. Their guy comes through, your guy doesn't. They're two clutch games, two close games. That's why you're down 0-2.
It is crazy when you look at the Eastern Conference and you say, all right, the Celtics are the best team. But when you talk about close and late, Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, maybe Tyrese Halliburton. I know he just hit that one most recent monster shot. Like, maybe all those other teams have guys that are a little bit better when you're talking about clutch points. Fourth quarter yesterday, I mean, if you look at Brunson and Bridges. Now, Bridges was awful for three quarters.
It was a wild turn. He was so bad for three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, he borderline couldn't miss.
I don't think they can rely on this, but Bridges and Brunson in the fourth quarter went 9 of 16 for 23 points, whereas Tatum and Brown, who you would say are clearly the better duo, went 1 of 9 for 4 points. So you get outscored. Their duo versus your duo, which minimum should be a wash. You should have more
points. I'm not saying the make doesn't count, but it was a dunk. I mean, anything more than a foot away from the rim, they were 0 for 8.
One thing was because you caught New York flat-footed, and actually in a weird way, I don't think they allowed the bucket, but it kind of worked for them.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, you score, we'll get the ball back.
I understand what you're saying. I thought the exact same thing.
It's like allowing a touchdown late in the game just so you can get the football back.
Well, and I didn't think the Knicks were in a bad spot once Tatum got the dunk. I know exactly what you're saying. Like, you go down, you try to score quick, which they
did. He's like, oh, that's good. You're extending the game.
You go in front, and if the Celtics score, if you miss that shot, then you can foul, and you're only down three. Like, I didn't think the Knicks were in a bad spot there. I know what you're saying. But so they were 1 for 9.
They were 1 for 9. Those two guys were 1 for 9, and, like, they should be the difference, whether you had a 20-point lead or not. Like, that is concerning in of itself. But let's just say it's a close game throughout. Final 3 minutes, you should be pretty confident that you have Tatum and Brown. Problem is, I think the Knicks are more confident, and probably rightfully so, that they have Brunson.
Well, and the next time you're in this spot, get ready to be tight again, and get ready to...
Well, it's only going
to
get worse.
You know, start second-guessing yourself, and if you thought they were already hesitant to shoot and hesitant to get into their actions offensively, like, get ready for more of that in game three if you're in the same spot. I think Celtics going to blow them out, because if it's another close game, I think the Knicks are going to win.
Yeah.
And I do not rule out a blowout, by the way.
Do they have 4 blowouts at them, though? And the Celtics, can they only win via blowout?
Maybe I'll give them like a close game in there, but you're playing a bunch of close games. I trust the Knicks more than I trust you, and I felt that way going in.
Yeah.
It is Jones and Keith live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, taking you up to the Red Sox and the Rangers today. Third game of the series at Fenway Park. Pre-game starts at 12:35. Me and Keith going to hang out with Joe Weil for a little bit of the pregame. So stay tuned for that. First pitch a little after 1:35 here on WEEI. We're brought to you in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in, get employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America for America. I haven't asked you this yet, Keith.
All right.
And I think you've said as much. You still think the Celtics can win this series. You're not overly panicked. Your panic meter is up to a 49.
Oh, yeah. No, it is up.
Higher. I'm 89. I told you yesterday I'm going to 89.
89.
I got a lot of texts, tweets rather, that said 93.7. People are at 93.7.
I did see a 93.7. One guy said 103.7.
That's a great point. He broke the meter. That's
broke
a good point.
Scale.
And so I am panicked. I'm not saying the Celtics can't win the series. Are you actually picking them to win 4 out of the next 5, win the series?
I am. I had them sweeping, so I'm dead wrong about that. But that meant I thought they could win 4 in a row. They won 4 in a row in the regular season. And people are like, oh, Mitchell Robinson wasn't there. Well, Porzingis missed 2 games. Holiday missed a game. Horford missed a game. Like, the Celtics have never really been fully healthy. So toss the injury stuff aside. They won 3 blowouts and a close game. I still have a hard time wrapping my head around the Pistons series, where I thought Detroit played better than New York, but they just fumbled it away, and then New York was there and closed out when they needed to, which is kind of like what we saw in these first 2 games. So I definitely need to give New York more credit. But no, I'm not ready to eliminate the Celtics yet. I mean, if they win on Saturday, it's 2-1, and I think at that point a lot of people are going to pick the Celtics. Like, right now it's scary because the 0-2 deficit thing is pretty significant. Like, the stats are not in their favor, or the history books are not in the favor of the Celtics right now, but I think they are that much of a better team. I think a lot of times when you see a team down 0-2, they don't come back because it's a lopsided favorite. Like, the heavy favorite is up 0-2. So, yeah, what are the chances of the team coming back and pulling off the upset from there?
So, look, I'm still picking the Celtics to win the series. Yeah. I think they can win 4 out of 5. I think they could win 4 in a row. We said this a lot mocking Perk the other day when Perk called game 2 a must win, and we mocked it.
Yeah.
If I thought it was a must win, then I'd have the Celtics eliminated.
Sure.
We said this a lot going in. I mean, they were down 3-0 against Miami and came back and forced the game 7. They've been down 3-2 against Philly in the postseason 2 years ago. I know it's some different guys. I mean, they weren't pushed much a year ago. Now they're getting pushed. But even this stat, teams that win the first 2 games of a best-of-7 series on the road win 86% of the time. And you hear that and you go, wow, 86%, that's a lot. I thought that number would be higher. Mm-hmm. The road team goes in and wins the first 2 games on another team's floor in the NBA?
Yeah.
I thought that number actually would be high. I'm actually surprised it's that low. 14% of the time, teams come back down 0-2. I'm surprised it happens that much in the NBA. I'm not saying it's a big number, but I would have guessed like 5%.
Yeah, I mean, I guess 2-0. So you're saying the team that It's the only team, when the team is on the road.
Yes. Okay. When the team wins the first two games, this exact situation, right. The team comes in and takes two games on your home floor.
I think that means it's the lower seed, which by more often than not, that team would be the underdog going into the series. Yep. So even though they won two games, yep. they're still not as good. So I guess looking at it that way, I would say that's about right. Like, I think the Celtics, and it's not like we've seen any like major injuries. It's not like, you know, Tatum's down or Brunson's down or anything. So everything's even. How many people do you think, outside of like Knicks fans, picked the Celtics to win the series? It was like a no bet.
Going in?
It was such a lopsided.
Everyone.
Yeah, everybody picked the Celtics to win.
I think we played this. I don't know where his stance was going into the series, but I remember at the beginning of the playoffs, Stephen A. was like, yeah, I think the Knicks could get it to 7. Not even picking them to win, but he's like, I think they could get it to 7. I have no reason why.
Oh, right.
Knicks fan.
But he's like,
I think they could push them to 7. Yeah.
No, I just
I wasn't even picking the Knicks. That's the rosiest, most positive Knicks prediction I remember hearing.
So I just think if you thought that they were going to win in 4 or 5 games, I think you have to probably keep that same kind of prediction now. It just starts now. Like, can they win in 4 or 5 starting now? I think yes.
Game 3 is a must win, though. They're not coming back from 3-0.
You're kind of bullying me into that a little bit. I mean, somebody has to be the first to come back, right? It's never happened in the NBA still.
No, it has not. And I admittedly got
Celtics were close.
I got a little nervous when they lost game 4 last year against Dallas. I'm like, I don't know. If they lose this game 5 at home.
You don't buy Porzingis, now the pressure's off.
That could it'll really be.
I think they're the favorite.
If the pressure's off down 2-0, it's really off when you're down 3-0. I'll meet Perk now and say game 3 is a must win. I didn't think game 2 was, which means I still think the Celtics will win the series, but I am less confident than you are.
What do you think the spread is for game 3?
Do you already have it? You have to look
at it? Yeah, I'm looking at it, yeah.
In New York, 6?
Yeah, 5.5.
Okay.
5.5. Sucker's bet, buying opportunity.
I would take the Celtics to cover that 6, I would. Because that
way I can go 0-for-3 betting the Celtics in this series.
If it's a
that'd be fun.
Yeah, I had them. I thought they were gonna win
cover 10.5.
I moved the line up last night. I moved it to 12 to get some plus money.
I was up 20. I started spending those hams. I was like spending those hams. And I was like, wait a minute. Get back here.
Didn't you say 10.5 was too rich for you, so you moved it up?
Oh, I moved it because I wanted some plus money. Yeah. I talked myself into
10.5.
Say it again.
Like, I don't feel comfortable betting 10.5. So
I talked myself into it over the course of the show. I was like, 10.5, I don't love. I moved it to 12.
I mean, the Thunder spread was also 10.5.
Yep. You know
they
what?
They won by 100.
I would have parlayed that with the over 23s last night. You couldn't parlay the two, at least on certain apps.
What?
Specific apps. You could not parlay the team over with the spread.
Well, they just missed that as well.
So they saved some money. Or saved me some money, rather.
Is there a game this series where they shoot as a team like 60% from 3?
Yeah.
It's probably going to happen. That's the way sports are. Yeah.
It will. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win the series, but they'll win.
No. But one of these games,
they're going to win a game that
way. They put up 150 like the Thunder did.
For sure. Speaking of that, now I've not actually heard this yet. I've read some of this. I'm curious to hear it.
Okay.
This is Windhorst, I believe, on Get Up this morning.
Horse of the Week.
Our Horst, not our Haas of the Week.
No.
Horst of the Week.
That's still up for grabs. Tune in tomorrow. I'll find out who the Haas of the Week is.
It is wide open. It's a short program today. I don't know that we're going to get one in there. Mitchell Robinson? No.
That would be
Joe Mazzulla's Haas of the Week. Here's Windhorst saying the Celtics are confused about how they're losing these games.
They're having difficulty coming to terms with what it is happening. They don't understand why they're losing. They believe their process is working. They believe they're generating good shots. They are doing the recipe that delivered them the championship and 61 wins, and they are not getting the bake out of the oven like they are used to. Obviously, there's variance with shooting. This doesn't make sense to them. They feel like they're doing a good job on Jalen Brunson. He's only shooting 35% in the series. They want Mikal Bridges taking all those contested jumpers as he made in the fourth quarter. He's shooting 29% in the series, but they're losing. They're at a little bit of a loss right now.
Okay.
They're losing and they're at a loss.
First of all, who's,
I would tend to agree.
Who's they? When he says the Celtics, they are confused. Who's he talking
about? Joe Mazzulla.
That's what I think.
Joe Mazzulla.
He doesn't say it, that's what I think he's talking
about. Yeah, Joe Mazzulla is saying we're taking open threes. Open three for Joe Mazzulla is the best shot in basketball. And so they have a lot of those and they're missing those. But it's like, you don't have a backup plan. You don't have a pivot point. You don't have any time where you're like, all right, maybe we should change things up. Even when you're protecting a 20-point lead. Because this is what's really kind of confusing to me. So Windhorst says they're confused. I'll tell you why I'm confused.
I'm not confused at all. I have a really simple answer.
I know you do. I know you do. Yours. No, but I think I know what yours is. But I'm just saying, for this team, it's not like they're shooting like gangbusters, getting up by 20, and then they can't throw it in the ocean. For the most part, they're not shooting well at all and still are getting up by 20, but then are just really going through these big droughts where they can't score at all. They're not even hitting twos. They're not even getting to the free throw line or whatever. Because that's what's confusing to me. It's not like, well, just do what you were doing in the first half. It's like, they kind of are. It's just now the Knicks are scoring more and you're going on these longer scoring droughts.
I'm also annoyed just hearing that. Like, oh, they're doing a good job on Brunson. He's shooting 39%. What do you think Tatum's shooting in the series?
In the series? 30?
I have his full playoff. What do you think Tatum's shooting for the playoffs?
He scored a lot against the Magic there.
39% for the playoffs.
For the playoffs?
And so Tatum's going to look at it. Mazzulla would look at it and go, oh, well, Tatum's just going to run into some shots. It's like, oh, that's just bad luck.
Yeah.
But then he looks at Brunson and he's like, oh, we're doing a great job on Brunson. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Brunson's probably going to run into some shots. So I just feel like that's inconsistent. But no, I have a really simple answer why the Celtics are down.
I know.
They can be confused all they want.
They are.
Let me give you a two-pronged attack on this, Keith.
Oh, you got two answers.
I'm going to throw you a curveball.
All right.
Number one,
can't hit a curveball.
They sucked at home all year.
Yeah.
By championship standards, they were a bad home team. They lost 13 games at home, I believe it was, this season.
Yeah.
So they have not been good at the Garden all year.
No.
So that's number one. You're not good at home. You haven't been good at home. You don't defend your home floor like you did a year ago where you lost four games or whatever it was at home all year long. That's number one. Number two, this is what happens when you run into healthy teams at full strength. Mm. This is why it was fair. And you didn't want to hear it, but it was fair to point out that, yeah, you beat Miami without Jimmy Butler. Yeah, you beat the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell. Sure, you beat the Pacers without Tyrese Halliburton. That's why that was always fair to bring up. This is what happens when you're going against teams at full strength. It's not so easy, is it?
No.
We tried to point this out a year ago.
And teams so they, with Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, that's
not fair.
No, that's a good point.
Not fair.
When Mitchell Robinson,
get him off the court.
Look out. But like, we tried to point this out a year ago.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like. It's not, there's no way it's ever going to be as easy as you had it last year, and you're seeing that now. They shouldn't be confused. I expected this on some level.
All right, I got some field goal percentages for just this series.
Right.
So two games against the New York Knicks. Jason Tatum is shooting what? He's better than 7% from the field.
28%.
Yep.
Is that right?
Nailed it. 28.6.
That's right.
Nice. From the field. Yep.
That's 29 if you round up, but okay.
And it's 28.6.
Yep.
And like the team, he is 25% from three. He has taken 23s in the series, and he's shooting 25%. Jaylen Brown is shooting 34.9% from the field, 17 from three.
Ugh. Now, I thought Jaylen was part of the reason why they built up their lead last night.
Yeah.
I also thought Jaylen was pretty good in game one going to the hoop. I mean, he's shot very poorly from three.
They only have Porzingis has only made, I think, one. So they only have, besides him, one guy that is shooting over 30% from three. That's Peyton Pritchard at 35.7. So nobody on the team can throw it in the ocean.
Yeah, so to answer your question earlier, there's going to be a game where they run into it.
Where they all hit.
They all hit. I mean, I do agree with that. But is that the formula to win the series? It wouldn't be for me. But they'll run into a game where they shoot well. Every team in the league will. Do you think, and we talked about this going into the series, do you think looming changes are affecting the team in any way? And when I talk about that, the Shams report from a week or so ago, where the whole league knows they're going to have to make changes starting this offseason. They can't stay in the luxury tax. Bill Chisholm's coming in. He spent all this money, and changes are coming. The whole league knows it. Do you think that's affecting the Celtics in any way?
That's a fair question. I would think no. I think it's the NBA. They know there's a lot of uncertainty all the time. Jaylen Brown's been in trade rumors his entire career. You know, Horford's not under contract for next year. They're aware that even when you're under contract, star players in the league change teams all the time. It's not like you have a long list of guys that are just assuming they're going to play their whole careers here. If anything, I actually, when we talked about this before the series or before the playoffs began, if it was going to have any impact, I thought it might be a positive impact, meaning like,
galvanized,
hey guys, we don't know how much further we're going to go. If we win two in a row, that puts us on like another
last ride.
Yeah.
That's all. Hey, we all
last
know
dance.
This is our last. Thank you. Last dance is probably a better term.
Yeah.
We all know this is our last shot.
I think it would
at
help
it,
more.
So let's galvanize the team. And maybe they're playing tight because they know it's their last run together. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. Now, that's soft, and I'm not letting them off the hook and giving them an excuse. I wonder why they're playing so tight. and why they don't look like themselves.
Maybe they thought it would be easier. I mean, they thought the Knicks, they smoked in the regular season. In the playoffs last year, they never lost two games in a series. Yeah,
they just thought repeating would be easy.
Yeah.
Like maybe the Nuggets thought. Like maybe the Warriors should have known.
I think we saw that a little bit in the Magic series.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, it's the playoffs, but it's also the Orlando Magic, so you could sort of see it. You would think with New York and just having a couple of star players on the other side would be different.
So to me, again, that does not let them off the hook. That's not like, oh, well, shrug your shoulders. They knew changes were coming. What were they supposed to do? Like, no, you should be galvanized. You should come together. You should make one last run at it, a last dance, if you will. That's what you should do. I wonder if they're not and they're playing tight because they know something's on the horizon. You can jump in, 617-779-7937, Jones and Keefe live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, taking you up to the Red Sox and the Rangers. We have pregame a little over an hour from now. Me and Keefe going to stick around with Joe Weil, talk some Sox on the pregame show. We'll also talk some Sox with Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keith, live on WEEI here in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio. Tomorrow at this time, stay tuned for the Friday four-pack. Four-pack of questions every Friday where we rip through them. It's time now, though, for Rob Bradford, WEEI, and Baseball Isn't Boring. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Rob Bradford, McFarland
to you both. Good to see you in person.
Yes. That's nice.
You know what I mean?
What a treat.
People are buzzing outside these windows. I mean, everyone's talking. It's great. It's a perfect way to turn the page from last night's dysfunction over at the Garden. Uh-huh. You know, can I go to like a 2-second rant?
Please. Okay, take your time. Longer than 2 seconds.
Yeah, right. Can I go on a 2-hour rant?
Yeah.
Does it, and I know you guys probably touched on this, but when you have a game, a playoff game, and I don't remember seeing a team not have a single player who actually wants to take over a game. Like, I saw the Knicks want to take over a game.
Yep.
I saw Milan Lucic against the Toronto Maple Leafs want to take over a game. I did not.
They lost that cup.
No, it seemed like nobody, like, they Tatum and Brown knew that they were supposed to take the shots, but they didn't want to take the shots. And I don't remember seeing that from anybody. I mean, that's the vibe where you get where Brunson was just like, let's go.
Well, it's kind of how we felt about them before they won the title. And then you're like, oh, they won the title, so this should be sort of
solved. You know what it reminds me of? LeBron. Like, LeBron did not want to take the shot in the day.
Still doesn't.
No, and like, I'm going to kick it out across the court to Kyrie.
Yep. Ray Allen. Yeah. He needed all the help he could get. But
Jordan never did that.
You have to do it on his own.
You have to. That was the most discouraging part, which is you have to have that guy, right? I mean, and they had it last.
You had the guy.
Yeah. Anyway, this is my rant. Yeah.
No.
Did the Red Sox have the guy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, his name's Alex Bregman.
Yeah, Bregman's great.
Yeah.
Bregman's worked out nicely.
I mean, if we're going to be consistent, I was talking about this with Ken earlier, like, Bochy pitching to Bregman last night is a moronic decision. We were ripping Cora the other week, so he doesn't have any high ground on this, but, like, pitching to Vladdy was dumb when Cora did it. That was stupid by Bochy last night.
Yeah, it was, and you see him and Mike Maddux. I mean, two guys who have been around forever. I mean, to combine probably 200 years, and they're talking to each other. And you could see sort of what they were doing, where they say, okay, don't give him anything to hit, which is stupid, because if you just don't, he's not going to chase, so don't give him anything. Just put up do the Garrett Cole, four fingers, let's go. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. But it was, I mean, he's obviously a really, really good manager, but that was a stupid decision.
So last year, this team that did not have Alex Bregman also was 19-19. Mm. The same record.
Good symmetry.
We're excited about Bregman. We're excited about Crochet. Excited about some of these new additions who, for the most part, have performed well. Last year's team didn't have a lot of expectations, but they were the same thing.
Completely different vibe. Completely different vibe, I think. And because you've pushed your chips to the middle of the table with this team, you've said, this is the last time we struggle. And you invested in that. You've done all of that. And so when you land with this record in this American League with that schedule, there is absolutely a bigger disappointment than there was at this time last year. Last year, everyone was like, oh, well, maybe Netflix has on to something. Who knows? Like, surprise team, whatever. No, I mean, because remember, Trevor Story got hurt. And there was zero expectations. Brian Baio was the opening day starter. All of a sudden, Tanner Houck's really good. But now you have all of this. You've invested all of this. You have Alex Bregman. You have Garrett Crochet. And this is, and I know that you guys have talked about it, and I've talked about it. What's baffling about this start, last night aside, is that you can't just say this is why. Because it changes all the time. I don't know if I've seen a team like this where it changes
it's the
all
errors. It's the strikeouts. It's the bullpen.
It's the bullpen. Yeah. It's.
Well, no, I thought last year was similar, and I'm with you on the expectations. Yeah. There weren't expectations last year, and like Jaron Duran, Tanner Houck had career years, but it was the same thing where at one point you're like, oh, the starting rotation's really good. Like Houck and Crawford, it was putting up really good numbers.
Like, yeah, they were like the best 1-2.
They were
in
awesome.
Baseball. Yeah,
and then like that kind of found its level. And same with like the bullpen. There were times where the bullpen was great. Then there were times like this stretch they're on now where they're blowing every game.
I think,
but isn't that kind of what a 500 team is?
Yeah, I think that the one thing, if I remember and right, last year defense across the board was
true. That was always
horrific.
Bad.
Horrific. That's and true. You take Story out of the equation, that was a problem.
Yep.
I think that. Where you have, like, Garrett Crochet pitches a great game, right? That's what he's here for. But then the guys that you're relying on to close it down does not close it down, which they had been earlier in the – It's just a weird scenario. And you know, you don't want to say, oh, well, don't worry about it. And I know Alex Cora after the game, after the first game of this series was sort of like that, right? He's like, oh, we're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
But he almost has to say that. What else are you going to say? Because you know what? You were still two games back after that loss. And the American League still stinks. I mean, that's their saving grace. The American League stinks.
So Cora told... Yeah, they do. Cora told WEEI Afternoons yesterday he hasn't talked with Devers, but he's not ruling out that there could be a change. Breslow, a little more cagey today with Greg Hill. Do you think Devers, whether it's next week, a month from now, September, do you think he plays at first base at all this year?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I'll go to the Breslow conversation this morning, which was I know that when Chris asked him, say, hey, you know, has Devers said anything to you guys? Is that's internal discussions. That tells me he said something to them. Now, whether that's I want to play or I don't want to play, there's something there. And I immediately go back to when the spring training, let's not forget about how weird and dysfunctional and unanswered a lot of Rafael Devers' spring training was. Forget about the beginning. Forget about the no. I mean, I'm talking about playing in five Grapefruit League games and for why you're still hitting. Like, there was no reason for this not to happen. So when Craig Breslow talks about this, and one of the things he also said, we insinuated about spring training. He referenced spring training about how they had to sort of, and I'm going to paraphrase, but massage the Rafael Devers situation back in spring training. What that tells me is that's exactly what's happening here, which it shouldn't happen. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard Kevin Millar on Nesson the other night.
No.
I mean, Millar, like, he hit the nail on the head. He just said, listen, I had to get uncomfortable playing positions. I didn't feel great about it. But if you have to play a position, then you play a position, and that's it. And I don't have evidence that they said to Rafael Devers, hey, Rafi, play the position. Or if Rafael Devers said at one point, don't ever ask me to play another position. I don't know that. All I know is this, is there's too much mystery with Rafael Devers this year. That is a fact. And also, ideally, you would want that player to come out and say whatever the team needs.
Yeah, he doesn't have it in him.
But that hasn't happened. No. And it wasn't. Forget about the media. It clearly hasn't happened with the team because they're saying it hasn't happened. So that's the. At the end of the day, when it comes to this Rafael Devers thing, I just get frustrated because now we're going on 3 months of bobbing and weaving and trying to figure stuff out, which it shouldn't be that way.
No. I mean, there are more examples of players who have changed positions than there are of guys who haven't. I mean, you look around, like, some of his great former teammates, like Bogarts and Betts, have done it. All the guys on the current roster pretty much have done it. Everybody does it in baseball.
I don't think there's been...
It used to be a thing that didn't really happen.
No, and also, ideally, you would like to, and I know that, you know, we have to go through a translator to talk to Devers, but ideally, when this happens and something like this happens at first base, say, hey, you know what? I'm there. If you need me, I'm there. And if Rafael Devers did say that, I would like to think that when Alex Cora or Craig Breslow was asked about this, he would say, hey, yeah, he's offered, but we're going to take our time with it. We're not going to put him in that spot right now. But we haven't heard.
No. So my biggest issue is the Devers conversation, I think, is obviously intriguing, but how do they not have a backup to a guy who missed 100 games last year? It seems like every other position, you could bring either somebody up from the minors or move somebody over, and you're like, that's the guy for an extended period of time. Maybe we readdress it at the deadline. First base was the one spot that you didn't, and it was for Casas, who missed so much time last year.
Listen, as I was dominating the AM radio broadcast at spring training, yeah, I can tell you that was on my top, one of the top of my
could
list.
Be.
I was like, you know, you've run Sogard out there. You've run Romy was hurt a lot of spring training. You run Toro out there. Fine. That's fine. But, you know, to your point, what if you get to the place where you are right now, where you don't have a guy for a season? What is the plan B? And I'll pivot back to Devers. It is not a second guess. It is a first guess. Why you do not have him take any ground balls
take
at
some,
first base.
In spring training, that's what it's for. Take a few grounders.
On the backfield.
Bregman was taking grounders at second,
thank
wasn't
you.
He?
Yeah. Oh,
in,
yeah.
In spring training.
Yeah.
And so I was Devers on first.
And you know, and so I don't know.
For no other reason, you see it and you go, "Well, that's a disaster. We can't do that." But that's what spring training's for.
Exactly right. And I think that, you know, they talk about how long it's going to take. You know, the different intricacies of it. We just got finished with Alex Cora talking about this. He talked about Romy, you know, last night. We talked about Josh Smith, who is the Texas Rangers first baseman, who's still trying to figure out how to use a first baseman glove. I mean, like, all this, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. But it's not only Devers. It drives me nuts where you have to walk on eggshells in this time where you have a month and a half in spring training and say, hey, just work on it. I mean, I remember when Mike Napoli made the change. Obviously, they knew he was going to play first base. But that was a lot, man. Like, every day before he played in the game, he would go in the backfield with Brian Butterfield. So, I just, to answer your question, yeah, you aren't going to say, oh, I'm going to get an everyday first baseman just as a backup to Casas.
Right.
But you can cover yourself, and that would seemingly be the best way to cover yourself.
I also think that's a dissatisfactory answer from Cora, where it's like, well, Romy Gonzalez is figuring it out, and the guy in Texas is figuring it out. It's like, well, right, those guys are trying it. Your guy won't even do it. So to me, that kind of is the problem.
Yeah, even if it's figuring out, like Carlos Narvaez is taking grounders at first.
Yeah. So I didn't even know that. If he's doing it, then Devers should get his.
Yeah, and he just does it, as part of his workout routine. But the weird thing is that Devers goes back. He taking grounders. He was taking grounders in Texas opening day. I haven't been out. I've seen him take grounders out here. So it's not like he's not taking grounders. It's not like he's not using his glove. And so what's the problem with just saying, hey, if you're going to take work out over at third base in the pregame, just do it over there at first with a first baseman's glove. Just because. And how many times have we seen it? But it comes back to the problem that we're guessing at so many stuff, the perception that everybody's walking on eggshells around this guy because of what happened early in spring training.
Why not Christian Campbell at first?
I mean, I mean, well, I don't think it's a bad idea for me, and I tweet this out immediately. Like, Marcelo Meyer to me is the most, he's ready for the major leagues. He's an athletic guy. They dropped him in at second base when he hadn't played there at all in spring training for a game. So why not have him start working out there with Christian Campbell? You're already asking him to play outfield in second base. I mean,
that's sort of my point is like, all right, he's the guy that is, you're not committed to him at one position right now. So make it,
even think he should play outfield, to be honest with you.
So I'd rather keep him second, but they're not.
Yeah. I think that, you know, there's different ways to go. You know, obviously some people have mentioned moving Trevor Story over there, moving Marcelo Meyer. Like, I just look at it. The Roman Anthony thing makes no sense to me because the guy had never taken a ground ball. Like, he's a big guy. Well, you guys are great personal friends with Marcelo Meyer. You've seen him in person.
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, he can play any position.
He's as big as Roman Anthony.
Yeah.
So, and he's an infielder.
Roman Anthony's hands yet, but I know he's got big mitts there.
You're going to have to give him a big first baseman big glove over there.
Oh, who? Marcelo Meyer?
Meyer, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to fight off the ghost.
That's true. That guy, yeah. Real quick before we let you go, you concerned at all about Crochet's dip in velocity?
No, especially after I heard he was under the weather that day. It is weird, though, because you go back, speaking of spring training, and I'll always reference spring training because I love it so much, but I go back to the first time he did a live BP out on JetBlue Park Field in February. Him and Chapman were both throwing 100. We know because they put the velocity up on the scoreboard. And like, oh my God, like Crochet, you see the new guys throwing 100. And then like 93, 94. But I will say this. It's a results business. He got results. And also, I think he was under the weather.
Okay. Chapman 104 last night, by the way. That's nothing to say.
It's like amazing, right?
It's pretty sweet. I mean,
Mark Waller threw 106.
I try not to get too excited about stuff like that, but that's pretty
You know who hit 100? I just saw this on TV. Brad Keller. Remember Brad Keller?
Yeah, sure.
Brad Keller, Brad Keller was with the Red Sox, how hard he throw, I would have said 88. Hmm. And then now he's throwing 100 for the Chicago Cubs.
Well, so good for him. Must be the vitamin.
Time's still there for you, too, as well. Media game's coming up.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Good stuff.
Right.
Brad Foe, as always, joins us every Thursday at 11:30. It's Jones and Keefe. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Where would a collapse against a loss to the Knicks in this series rank among Boston disappointments? We'll get to that. And Paul Pierce, some interesting comments prior to game two. We got to get to those next.
How confident are you?
If the Celtics lose game two at home, I promise you, I'm walking here tomorrow.
Why you gotta do that?
Wait a minute.
I'm walking here 15 miles. I'm walking here.
I don't know, Keith. This is your friend.
In my robe.
Get your friends.
No shoes on.
Somebody save him.
Bare feet.
No.
If what?
If the Celtics lose tonight.
Oh, my God.
Oh, don't do it, Paul.
I'm walking.
Paul.
Not tonight.
I'm telling you right now.
Take the series.
Ain't no way. In a robe, barefoot.
So you getting up at 5 in the morning?
I'm be up at 3.
Right here, though, Joy. Yeah.
Right here.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Walking. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Got to walk, homie.
I guarantee this one. Put the house on this game.
No.
Put the house
on it. Do not put your house on it.
So you don't think there's an opportunity to...
No shot we lose.
There's no way.
No chance.
Paul Pierce. I honestly respect it.
I love the confidence.
I respect it, quite frankly.
He was all in.
Of course, do we have an update today? Is he walking to work?
Yeah, he is walking to work.
Is he?
There's a couple of videos. Like, TMZ's even picked up on this. Paul Pierce walking to work. He also tweeted out, he went to like Google Maps, and it is an 8-hour, 2-minute walk. He lives 20 miles from the studio. He's huffing it right now.
Yeah,
I don't know about barefoot and bathrobe, but he was on the street. There's a video of him walking.
I mean,
he's gonna take a while.
He should. He should.
Well, we brought this up. The Kyrie Irving series, his last series with the Celtics, right, against the Bucks. Was this last series? Either way.
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. When the Celtics won game one, yeah, the series is over. The Bucks.
No, but who'd they beat in round one? They like smoked somebody in round one. The Pacers?
Maybe Indiana.
And then they're up 1-0 on the Bucks.
And Pierce was on ESPN at the time. He's like, this one is over. He's like, this is a wrap. And then the Bucks won 4 straight games in the 1-5.
And the Celtics broke their team up.
Correct.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not the same case here. But Pierce was as confident, if not more confident, in the game last night. Although I'm with him on this one. Last night, we all thought blowout.
I didn't take it quite as far as he did, where I was walking to work.
No, I didn't walk to
the bathrobe my house on it.
No, God, no.
I mean, I didn't do any of that.
No, just a few hams.
I bet the hams, too.
Couple hams.
But I said, you know, there's no way the Celtics. I mean, largely, I agree with that commentary. We're all wrong. He took it a little farther, but I respect it. And I respect that if he actually walks to work today, good for him.
There's no way he's going to walk 20 miles.
Why?
20 miles?
Why?
I just don't think. I mean, what do you mean? Why?
I would rather.
You can't be prepared to walk 20 miles.
Walk?
Walk 20 miles? You're just going to walk for 8 hours?
Yes.
No way.
If I made a bet like that on national television, yes.
I was out of breath from the parking garage.
I got winded
over here.
Running for a live read.
That's what I'm saying.
But I would pay off the bet.
Yeah. Yeah, he's walking. There's videos of him popping up all around. He's walking down the sidewalk. Imagine Paul Pierce is walking down the sidewalk. Hey, can I get an autograph? He's like, no, I got like seven more hours to go
here.
I'm
a little disappointed he's not barefoot and in the bathrobe like he promised, but if he walks to work, I'll give him a lot of credit.
Yeah.
We all have bad takes. You gotta face the music.
Actually, I take it back.
He's facing the music.
He might be in a bathrobe.
Okay, good. If you're going for it, you should do it.
The shoulders up, so it's hard to tell. I think it might be a bathrobe.
I'll cut him some slack. Barefoot, where are they? Like LA, where are they?
Yeah, California, somewhere. Yeah.
So I'll give him some. I'll give him some leeway not walking barefoot.
Knows, at that point, it's
who knows
hygiene.
What you're going to step on.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay, I'll cut him some slack there. But largely, good. We all have bad takes. You got to face the music on him.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Here's our pal Jake in Boston. What's up, Jake?
What's up, boys? That Pierce video is hilarious. Jonesy, you made a good point last night. Nobody is happier than Bill Chisholm this morning because his life gets so much easier if they lose this series.
I did tweet this last night.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
and it's a natural born excuse to blow it up and avoid the second apron and to really rethink your roster if you do lose this series, including your two top guys, and how do you make your roster better for the long run. And he was begging for money a few weeks ago, by the way. He's begging these other owners for money to join in on this investment. Two more points. Number one, do we really believe there was a fire at the Garden last night, or was that a code red to keep Jason Tatum out of his press conference? And then, boys, if they lose this series, last year's a fake title, right? Like, beat a bunch of injured teams. It's a fake title. Like,
well, hang on. Why not, Keith?
Well, you didn't injure anybody. It's not your fault. Like, you didn't do that. Those were the teams in front of you.
Okay.
You had 4 series in a row.
But hang on. I'm okay taking away championships. I'm okay.
I'm okay taking away one.
Yeah,
you one championship.
Okay.
Bubble title. This was, they played real arenas with real fans.
I was going to say, we're only taking away one. I see what you're saying.
I'm only taking away one. I mean, I think
okay kind of taking away Giannis's. They had an easy run, and Giannis is a big, giant loser. I'm okay taking away that one. Why can't we take away this one?
You can. I choose not to. I choose to keep them with their title.
Okay.
I think part of the story of this year's potential title run would have been, it kind of validates that one a little bit more, right? Because you're right. They didn't play the best teams, but it's not their fault that Jokic didn't make it to the NBA Finals.
No.
It's not their fault that whoever you thought was better than Dallas didn't make it to the NBA Finals.
Their title looks, I'm not going to take it away either, as much as I like to joke about but it is going to look a lot more suspect if they're out in round two this year and you go, oh yeah, they played a bunch of hurt teams last year.
Oh yeah. I mean, even besides if you want to just go back to the 90s, and I know teams now don't repeat as much, but there are a lot of repeat winners, right? So like Curry, although he was the last repeat guy, but he also won one before that. He won one after that. LeBron's won 3, and then with another one. But we look at a lot of the guys that won just one, and you're like, all right, why is that? And that's great. You're above Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, but like, how come you didn't win a second one? How come Dirk and Pierce and Garnett and Jokic and Giannis, how come they didn't win a second one?
You think it was a fake fire at the Garden last night?
Yeah, I don't know what the heck was going on with that.
I mean, I don't.
It was after the game. And I guess
did the job. Did
off.
You order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
I don't know if it. I'm not going to go with Jake on the conspiracy theory that it was fake to get Tatum out of speaking.
It was like when Amari Stoudemire punched the fire alarm. Yeah. Remember, like, shattered his hand?
I think Tatum should have talked. I know all the reporter. Same. I know all the reporters went back into the garden last night. I'm assuming maybe Tatum just hightailed it out of there. But I saw a video last night going around. Hart and Brunson were talking in the middle of like the fire alarm going off. They're like, "Is anybody worried about that?
Should we leave?"
Yeah,
no, we're good. We're just testing them.
So I don't know if Tatum should make himself available before Game Three.
With the 2 days off.
Right. If Tatum's like, and he doesn't always talk in between games, right? A lot of these superstars don't in the NBA. It doesn't make him unique, but because Tatum did not talk after Game Two, he should make himself available before Game Three. If he does, no harm, no foul. 617-779-7937. We'll get to some thoughts on the Celtics. Is it panic time? Neither of us are picking the Knicks to win this series, so I guess not. Are you guys panicked? We'll get to it with your phone calls next.
Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering.
New York, with that 2-0 lead on the defending champs, and 6 consecutive defending champions have lost in the second round. Now, there's a lot for the Celtics to battle.
Jones and Keith, high noon here on WEEI. We are live today inside the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, taking you up to the Red Sox and the Rangers. Me and Keith going to stick around with Joe Weil on the pregame show, getting you game ready. We'll hang out, talk some Sox there. First pitch is at 1:35. Pregame 12:35, which means we have time to get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937. More thoughts on the Celtics down 0-2 against the New York Knicks. Where's your panic meter? Who do you blame? All that good stuff. We're brought to you today in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio by your New England Ford dealers. Hurry in to get employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America, for America. How are we feeling, Keith, about the Celtics down 0-2? Neither of us are picking the Knicks to win the series, so I guess we're not overly panicked. I would say I'm less confident than you are. I'm more panicked than you are. I was an 89 on my personal freakout meter. Where were you?
I'm a 49, but admittedly...
That is not freaked out enough.
Admittedly shooketh, though, because I went into the series thinking, sweep. So I went in thinking this was not going to be much of a series. It was a great matchup for the Celtics. I thought they would dominate like they did in the regular season. So even when they lost one, you were like, all right, well, the Thunder lost their first game. The Cavs lost their first game. Maybe this is just a weird second round thing. That's fine. They'll bounce back. But then the fact that game two played out so similar to game one, I'm more surprised than anything else. Like, I just can't believe that the game played out that
way. I'm going to tell you, this doesn't happen often, but I did sit for like a good half an hour on the couch last night, just kind of like scrolling through my phone, and every like 2 minutes being like,
how's this happen?
I can't believe that happened.
It's been, as an aside, it's been a really good NBA playoffs. Like, there's been a lot of fun games for you guys watching the other series. Like, there's been some great games. There's been a lot of surprises. You know, LeBron getting bounced out in 5 games was great. But, no, there's been a lot of stuff. And this one, like, who on earth would have thought the Celtics would be down 0-2? And, yeah, it's wildly frustrating. There's going to be a lot of – there is a lot of questions about this team. There's, you know, those criticisms that Jason Tatum has faced over the last few years, it's like, all right, well, you have performances like this. Like, you're not going to be able to run away from it.
Let me tell you. Pierce had a bad take, Keith.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk to work. No way. Put your house on the market. Keyshawn tried to talk him out of it. Joy Taylor tried to talk him out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you just heard it. We played it for you at the end of last
hour. It was a good take at the time.
I think it was a good, strong take. I respect it.
Uh-huh.
And he's paying it off. He's walking to work today in robe. His robe and slippies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Tatum's what are they going to say now take is not going to age well.
No.
Like, what are they? What if they get knocked out by New York, and I'm not forecasting it, you're not forecasting it. Again, I'm more nervous than you are, but if you're asking me to pick, I'm still picking the Celtics. I think I can win 4 out of 5 against New York. They're still the favorite most places you shop in the series. They're minus money to win the series. So I'd still take them. But if they lose to New York in round two, the whole what are they going to say now crowd, like, there's a lot to say about you, Tatum. You're 1 for 12 in these fourth quarters.
Right.
You have 1 basket, 6 points in these fourth quarters. You've gone invisible. You're supposed to put the team on your back, carry them to a championship. Instead, you got carried to a championship. And now, following it up when the team needs you, you're not answering. So what are they going to say now? There's going to be a lot to say if and when you get knocked out.
Yeah, because he's in this weird spot, I feel like, over the last few years where he really, in my mind, is not an MVP candidate, but he's better than everybody else that isn't. There's like two or three guys each year. It's Jokic, and then, all right, whose year is it? Is it, it feels like forever ago, but like Joel Embiid had like a run, a one-off, or Giannis until he kind of dipped a little. He's still great, but like a little bit. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander clearly is sort of the guy now. Tatum's not there, but he's a shoe-in first-team All-NBA guy every year, and he's the defending champ. So you're expecting so much more. Like, it is not, it's not crazy to say, how are you shooting like this, playing like this, and even, like, fourth quarters? You know, it's one thing, because Jalen Brunson also didn't shoot very well. And then the fourth quarter, when they needed him, he hit a couple of really clutch shots, hit a couple of really clutch free throws, and gave his team the lead. Celtics, meanwhile, I know Tatum had the one like kind of runaway dunk, but that was it.
Well, and I was going to say, Keith, Tatum had his chances, and the dunk was part of
it. He did.
But Brunson makes the two free throws with 12 seconds left after Tatum has the dunk. And, you know, Tatum had a shot. He hit free throws earlier to break up the big Knicks run, 21-2, and bring the Celtics within one. Then he had the dunk to put him in front. If Tatum comes through in the final 6 seconds or whatever it was when he got the ball stolen away, if he comes through there, I think we're talking about Tatum similar to Brunson, where we go, he didn't have his best night.
No, but when he needed it.
When it mattered, he came out and he won them a game. We would give him his due. I'm not saying it would be all credit, because he was horrible for most of last night.
Yeah, yeah.
But so was Brunson, and we're saying Brunson came through when it mattered. We'd be talking about him the same way. Brunson did it. Tatum didn't. Same as game one. It's why you're down 2-0.
Yeah, it's brutal. And really, you go back to just this series, two games, Tatum looked so in control in the first quarter of game one. He looked so confident. He looked like it was going to be bad news for the Knicks.
Miller pointed out on the broadcast, he's like, the ball's hardly even touching the net. That's how locked in he looked to start game one. Yeah,
he was great. In the, what, seven quarters since then? Guy can't buy a bucket.
Nothing.
And, okay, he's grabbing a bunch of rebounds, which is nice. However, you're not a supermax guy for chasing down a bunch of rebounds. Like, you're a supermax guy because you should be 30 a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not 30 a game, it should be big shots, guy you can count on at the end. So, yeah, that's still hanging over his head. And if you lose in the second round of the playoffs a year after winning the title, it's only going to like kind of loom larger.
For sure. Where would this rank for like Celtics choke jobs? I was trying to think of this earlier. Like,
so I, yeah.
That year they got bounced against Milwaukee, they were a lower seed. I don't really know that that fits. I mean, obviously losing an NBA Finals to the Lakers, but you got to the NBA. Like, when a team underachieved and it snuck up on you, in Boston sports, recent Boston sports, I feel like this is similar to the Bruins losing to the Panthers in round one a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like that. We have the better.
Or when they lost to the Blues. I mean, I know that was the Cup Final, but that, yeah. I thought they were winning that series.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And so, I don't know. I mean, to me, getting to the Finals maybe is a different tier just because you did go on a run. This is, you're out so much earlier than we thought.
Maybe 1967. It broke up. I think they had won 8 titles in a row or whatever.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And then Auerbach was out.
And they lost that one.
And then they won 2 without Red because he's overrated.
Well,
right, yeah.
I'll
yeah,
tell
yeah.
you, there was a stretch. Some of these Tatum-Brown teams I thought were going to win. Now, not like this. This is worse because they did just win. They are the best team. Like, I thought they were going to win the bubble title, to be honest. Like, go back to that
good
one.
Good one.
Now, I wouldn't have counted.
Yeah, you, of course. You famously would not count that if the Celtics won it. Yeah.
Wouldn't have given it to them.
Right.
I thought they were going to win the Warriors NBA Finals.
Me too.
I thought they were going to win all these ones. This would be worse,
a couple
though.
Years ago when they
yeah,
were down.
That's a good one, too.
I agree.
Eastern Conference Final, they were down 3-0. Yeah.
So they've had their cracks at it. I think picked them to win all those series.
But wouldn't this be worse than most of those? This would be worse.
This is worse because now the team has gotten over the top. Before, it was sort of like we kept waiting for them to be a championship team. Now they are that. And then in their first defense, they lose to a team that they dominated over the last 2 years.
Speaking of other Tatum comments, Tatum just said after they beat Orlando, he's like, yeah, now it's free. We won a title. All the pressure's off. It's free and easy or whatever he said.
I feel like the pressure's back on.
Yeah, it feels very much
feel like it
back
is.
On.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Let's go to some phones here. George is in Peabody. What's up, George?
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We're doing all right.
Missoula has to go. He doesn't know how to make any adjustments. He doesn't use his timeouts. Right. What do you think about that?
Okay.
Well,
Missoula has to go.
I'm down on Missoula right now. I'm not going to fire him going into game 3. I'm also not going to fire him after this series, even if they lose.
Okay.
Now, I know some people, there's going to be a lot of talk about that.
Let's game it out for a second. I want to go to his timeout and some of the other specifics.
Yeah,
we're going to play some Missoula coming up. But let's
a lot of criticism for last night.
Let's say they lose to the Knicks.
All right. Sweep?
Regardless. Fill in the gaps how you want.
Seven games?
Does he get fired?
No.
Okay.
I think Brad likes him too much.
I personally wouldn't rule it out, but I also personally would not fire him
now
for this series. But I wouldn't totally rule out him losing his job.
The Rich Keefe stat of the day.
Yeah.
If you guys missed it, I'm about to repeat it for you. This would not work in Joe Mazzulla's favor. So last year, Mazzulla won the title. Prior to that, it was five different head coaches winning the title because there had been no back-to-back winner. So five different head coaches. Out of those five, only one is still with his current team. And there's kind of a caveat with that one because it's Steve Kerr.
He's won so many.
He had won three prior to that. Yeah. That was his fourth one. So he probably has more job security.
I would add a caveat to the caveat. Like a lot of coaches could have won with
Curry.
That team. But
No. I'm not saying he's a great coach.
Saying but he's the only one who still has his job.
Yeah, so like if you miss the playoffs or you lose in the second round the next year, you're not going to fire Steve Kerr. But so Nick Nurse.
Were any of them out the next year? I don't think so.
I'd have to double check.
I think all of them.
Vogel, maybe.
Oh, maybe Vogel, actually.
I bet he was.
Malone got two. I'm pretty sure.
Budenholzer?
Nurse got a couple. I think Budenholzer got
one after that. I mean, I bet it's it's in the last 5 years, so it can't be too long.
Look, I personally wouldn't fire Mazzulla. I wouldn't rule out they would just because.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear it coming up. He called out Tatum last night.
He called him out in game one of the
Magic. He called him out
series.
In the Orlando. So, like, if Tatum's like, I'm done with him, and he goes and says, I want him out, then he's going to be out.
Well,
so that's the only reason I don't totally rule it out, but I think he'd be back, but he would go in the next year on the hot seat for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Watching Celtic City, like with Bill Fitch, he won a title, but then a couple years go by. Now, I know that was a weird one where Larry Bird backed Fitch, but everybody else didn't.
Right.
And then they kind of went with the majority there, and they got rid of him. But we were talking the exchange that Mazzulla had, the cage match with B-Rob. Bulldog Rob.
Why is it called? This is round one. We got round two coming up.
You know, I know we do. But yeah. I'm saying the round one, we looked at it and everybody on the surface is like, oh, what a weird guy. Like, what a weird answer. And like, he's trying to like bully around B-Rob. B-Rob's standing his ground. Be like, could you please just answer the question, which is about defense, and you're taking somewhere else. But in there, that was more of a rip job of the team and being like, the Knicks made their shots.
Just
we missed
them.
Our shots.
Just make them.
So it's got nothing to do with me, the coach. Right. I put you guys in a spot to get the good shots. You just missed them. The Knicks made them. So it like all on the player. It had nothing to do with any kind of coaching adjustments, coaching changes. So that just going back to that caller where he's like, what does he do? Like, what does he do after timeouts? When does he use a timeout? I thought last night blew an opportunity to use a timeout at the end. I guess he carries that over to game three. I'm not sure what he's going to do with that, but that was a missed opportunity.
So let's hear round two, because there are a lot of missed opportunities. And when he's saying, well, it's just a make-miss league and we just got to make them, I don't know if he realizes he's doing this or not, but he's actually making a case against his own job security.
Correct.
So I wouldn't fire him if they lose to the Knicks. I'd give him another year, but he'd go into the year on the hot seat. You wouldn't fire him, Keith. The only reason I don't rule it out is because Tatum, I wouldn't blame Tatum if he's a little sick of the crap from Mazzulla. I was on Missoula's side when Missoula's like, yep, get up against Orlando. Listen to this exchange with B-Rob last night and stay for the second portion of it. The first portion he's going to acknowledge, we're just running the same play over and over.
I think it's wild that he would admit it.
The second portion, he's going to throw Tatum under the bus. Let's listen to both and we'll react on the back end. Here's Missoula last night.
Joe, what was the thought process with not calling time out there with 12 seconds left?
Had one left, got a good look on the exact same play 20 seconds earlier. Tried to execute the exact same thing. They did a better job of their lower pickup point, and we weren't able to get the advantage that we had on the last Tatum dunk. So good full court setting. They subbed out Towns, weren't able to sub out Brunson, had action there, and we just didn't execute.
And then with the, but how much is the time consideration a factor there with 12 seconds, like giving yourself a couple cracks at it? You know, if you advance the ball there potentially.
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. So you don't know that at the point of, you know, JT was driving left. You know, thought he had a good look, saw it at an angle, didn't shoot it, and, you know, ran out of time.
Okay, let's start with that second part first.
Okay.
I know you don't like that they ran the same.
No, you go ahead. Start with the second part. I'll circle back to the first. There's so much in there, but go ahead.
I thought Tatum had a good look, and he didn't shoot it. Like,
that's all on Tatum. Or Mazzulla's putting it all on Tatum.
He is putting it all on Tatum. And I don't agree with Joe's read on that at all. I don't think he had an angle. I think
he's excusing himself for not calling timeout to bail out Tatum, who did not have a good look and almost lost the handle a little bit when he went to his left.
Right. So I didn't have a problem with not calling it. B-Rob's asking about the timeouts. I don't have a problem with not calling a timeout after the Brunson free throws on the inbounds, right? I have an issue with that. I did have an issue with what you just said.
He could have bailed him out. There's 12 seconds. You call a timeout when Tatum's at the free throw line and kind of goes to his left. I think there's six seconds.
Right.
And you could already tell he wasn't going to get the same result as the play before.
Call timeout.
So that first part drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And so when he's like, I think he's trying to make himself look better and maybe make B-Rob look stupid, where he's like,
well, it's the same play and it worked.
Well, same play, good look at it 20 seconds ago. Yeah, the 20 seconds ago was outrageous. Do you think Thibodeau and the Knicks aren't going to adjust at all?
Yeah.
Plus, nobody has put Mitchell Robinson over more than Mazzulla.
Thibodeau's losing his hair, not his memory. Like, he will
hair's
remember,
gone.
He'll remember hair 20 gone. Seconds ago.
He's like, how much money are you spending on hair product? You don't have hair. Why is there so much goop in it? But Mazzulla loves Mitchell Robinson. Like, he's putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, does he ever.
But he even points out there that when they ran the play the first time and Tatum got an uncontested dunk, Mitchell Robinson was on the bench. Because it was a free throw situation, Mitchell Robinson checked into the game. So you're running the same play, but now they have a better defensive player in there, and you're expecting the same result. Like, Mazzulla really just kind of snitched on himself there with that answer.
Agreed. And I actually don't have an issue with running the play a second time. I totally get your stance, but if you're asking me, look, we're running the same play. The Knicks couldn't stop it. You got to show to me you can stop it. I actually don't hate that mindset. I hate Joe being like incredulous about it after the game, where he's like, well, we ran it before, it should work again. It's like, no.
Right.
You should understand that they might adjust. You're gambling and saying you can't stop it. I bet you won't make an adjustment. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And then you got to wear that after the game. Him like refusing to wear it.
He won't take any blame.
Wearing it as like a badge of honor. Like, well, it worked before. Of course it was going to work again. Duh.
They couldn't possibly make an adjustment.
That's my issue. But I didn't mind not calling a timeout with 12 seconds left on the inbound and setting something up. I'm with you. Once the play wasn't working, quick timeout.
And that's why he is saying that Tatum had a good shot.
Yes.
So it prevents any follow-up question as to why didn't you call a timeout then? Or you don't call it at 12 seconds. Why don't you call it later? And he would tell you, well, he had a good look.
But to me, the reason I wouldn't call a timeout on the inbounds, Tatum shoots at 6. He misses. Knicks get a rebound. They hit 2 free throws. You're still down 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's like you save the timeout to advance the ball on a future possession. I don't hate that strategy. When Tatum... I know he's claiming Tatum had an angle and he's throwing Tatum under the bus. I don't think he did at all.
That never looked promising.
So that's where Joe should have called the timeout. But putting it on Tatum after he yelled at Tatum to get up in game one,
questioning his toughness,
Orlando.
Questioning his toughness and now his like closing ability.
And as you've said, in game one, calling out the whole team and being like, well, just make them. Just make some shots. The Knicks made them. You guys just make them. Come on, it's so easy. Just make them.
Yeah, this is the fast track to losing your gig.
I mean... Yeah, guys are going to start looking at you and going, all right, Joe, like, it's just about us. You don't need to be the coach here.
Think about how most of us felt about Mazzulla 2 years ago versus how we felt about him last year. What was the difference? They were winning more, and they won all the time in the playoffs because he says a lot of the same stuff. The guy's wired the way that he is, but it sounds a whole lot different after a loss than it does after a win. So you can only imagine how the players feel about all this. And now it does feel like he's pointing the finger at them more than he used to also.
He
always said
way.
Weird things, but this is a kind of a different level.
So why? We talked about this earlier. Is that an ego thing? Does he know? Like, changes are coming and he's part of those changes? Like, interesting to kind of seek that one out. I'm not telling you I know the answer, but that's an interesting one to explore because I agree. He is calling the team out more than he has.